to another episode of Multiverse Musings, a DC Comics podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam. But with me tonight is not Jordan. I've always said that I was going to eventually fire him, and I've done that. There was too much Batcat nonsense, so I let him go. Actually, that's not true. I haven't let him go. I felt bad for him. He started crying, so we kept him on board. But tonight's a special episode because, thankfully, for half of our listeners at least, there will not be any Batcat talk. There probably won't be any Batman or Superman or Green Lantern or, you know, the Space Force that the Trump wants to create. None of that talk. We're here to talk about Transformers. And the reason why we're talking about Transformers is because I am launching a spin-off podcast with a different co-host because Jordan does not enjoy Transformers. Another thing to knock on Jordan. So when he does get Twitter back, send him your hatred. There, he's still locked out, by the way, if you want an official update. As of this recording, anyway. But I do have a very special co-host for not only this, what I'm calling episode zero, but for the forthcoming podcast. And I'll let my co-host introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Ryan Heelsman. I'm just some Transformers nerd, geek, dork, whatever you want to say, on Twitter that I've become really good friends with Adam over the many months, and he and I happen to share a love for not just the Transformers franchise at large, but also, in particular, the Michael Bay live-action movies.
Yes, and it's, you know, a lot of people only hear me talk about, you know, DC, and they think that that's it in a nutshell, but I have many fandoms. Transformers is definitely one of them, obviously, because we're recording a podcast on it, but I also love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love, you know, I like Marvel, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I enjoy them. You know, I'll throw some Zorro in there. I like Zorro. He was my pre-Batman fixation for a little while there. So I like a lot of different things. And when I met Ryan, I could see how passionate he was for Transformers, and specifically the Michael Bay films. So what I thought that would be fun to do was partner up with somebody like him. And, you know, because I'm more of a... I really have a liking for the Michael Bay franchise, the film franchise, but I also do enjoy everything going back to G1. So I thought what a great thing would be was to create a podcast that embraces every aspect of the Transformers franchise, be it the original cartoons, be it the movies, be it the IDW comic books, which we'll be covering. So we're going to be covering, you know, pretty much as we can in regards to Transformers. And it's going to be a safe place amongst the online Transformers community because, you know, we want everybody to feel welcome. We want everybody to feel, as they're listening, that their piece of the Transformers puzzle that they enjoy is being respected and given its due. Even if there are going to be things within the franchise at large that maybe Ryan is not so keen on or I'm not so keen on.
And then, like, how there are things that I'm particularly keen on that a lot of members of the franchise fandom and other people that might do other shows, you know, they take pride in bashing, I'll say, or they act like they have to strain themselves in order to come up with the positives. And one of the personal reasons why I'm happy that I'm doing this with Adam is, you know, I want to spread a little love for Bayformers.
And so there, just as a continuation, there will be no bashing of you know, I mean, if we don't like something, we're going to say it, we're going to explain why, but we're going to do it in a way that's respectful.
We're not gonna be like, oh, you like this cartoon. Yeah. You ruined my childhood. Yeah, I'm not gonna be doing.
Well, my childhood is so far gone that listen, to go back and ruin it now. Good luck. You need a big time machine. that could span a couple decades. So go ahead. Have at it. But because we're going to be encompassing a large, you know, aspect of, you know, Transformers, basically everything Transformers, we came up with the title of Bayformers and Beyond, a Transformers Multiverse Podcast. That's what we're calling ourselves. We'll come up with a fancy hashtag as things go along. But this is episode zero, in effect, of our podcast. It's going to be a monthly podcast. So we'll tell you what we are going to be covering. And if you want to follow along, you have a month to kind of get ready and do that with us.
Brace yourselves, buckle yourselves in. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
For some people, it might.
I'm sure it will.
But tonight what we're going to do is we're just going to give a brief sort of introduction to ourselves, which we've kind of sort of already done, and to a little bit of a degree. And then we're going to discuss our thoughts on the trailer for the Transformers spin-off solo film, Bumblebee. But first, what I want to do, Ryan, is what made you a Transformers fan? How did you get into this crazy world?
Well, I think it's in the title of what our podcast is going to be. It was the current series of the live-action movies. The first Michael Bay movie in 2007. I can still remember sitting in the movie theater. I forgot what I was seeing summer of 2006 when there was that very first teaser trailer with the whole Mars rover footage and whatnot. And thinking, you know, as the trailer goes on, I have like no idea what this is supposed to be about, but it looks cool. And then the logo, Transformers, comes up on screen. And I just sit back in my chair and I'm thinking, really? They're doing a movie based on that stupid toy franchise? And now look at me.
And now you're collecting said toys.
And now I am. I never, it's like I had only like the bare minimal awareness of who the Autobots and Decepticons are, of who Optimus and Megatron were. I might have seen like a couple of minutes of, probably in hindsight, it would have been one of the three Unicron trilogy shows. I saw something like that one early morning. But other than that, I never cared about the franchise until the 2007 movie.
Yeah, so I mean, and that in and of itself, I think, is cool. That you could transform, in a bad pun, but here it comes. Transform.
Bring on the puns.
Yeah, not as bad as Mr. Freeze, but here we are. You can transform. You can transform someone from a non-fan into a fan, which is you know.
And even after that first teaser, it's like I was just like really I can't believe it. And then it was sometime in the fall or winter where we got that second trailer. And showed a lot more, like showing Scorponok jumping out of the sand, and that shot from over the shoulder of Optimus transforming in front of Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox, and my mouth is on the floor because I'm finally getting to see, like, this, what I was feeling back then watching this 2-minute trailer is probably what a lot of kids, G1ers, if we want to call them that, nowadays probably thought watching promos or something for the original 80s cartoon, just pure awe and wonder and being like, I want this, I want to see this now.
No, that's awesome. Like I said, I think it's pretty awesome that another, you know, form of media can alter your perception of something that you didn't previously enjoy too much. So, you know, whatever people want to say about the film series, the detractors, you can't deny that it has brought new people into the fold, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, every iteration of the franchise has brought in new fans, and even cartoons or toy lines that I might not be big on. Spoiler alert for the future, animated is one I don't like. I appreciate that it brought in new fans, that it brought in new concepts and ideas. Like, if it hadn't been for animated, Transformers 4 Age of Extinction probably would have been a very different movie, because the whole lockdown storyline is pretty much lifted from a story arc in animated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, I think your story is a really cool one, because it shows just how vital and important different interpretations of a franchise are for the longevity and survival of said franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cool story to get out there. From my point of view, I mean, I became aware of Transformers with the G1 animated series, because that ran from, if my timeline is correct, 84 to 93. So that covered the first 9 years of my life. I was born in 83, so it covered about, And I remember watching it. It was my brother's thing, because he was really into it. Mm-hmm. He's 10 years older than me. So as a little brother often does, sits there with his older brother and gets into the stuff that he's into. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I remember casually watching together with him was the G1 era of the Transformers. And also, G2 is sandwiched in there as well, because it was the direct follow-up. But then the one that I really sort of opened my eyes was the Beast Wars.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff was the one that was like, oh wow, this is really cool, because to me the whole going from transforming from vehicles to animals, it was like, oh.
It was one hell of a paradigm shift, yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like, I think the animation style, I don't know how, it was like, I guess you could describe it as more CG-ish, Beast Wars.
I think it's...
I don't know what the terminology for the actual style
is. Yeah, I would definitely call it CG, and I think it holds this... Beast Wars holds the distinction from being the first, like, complete CGI, computer-generated TV show.
It was that, and I remember... I don't know the timeline on this, but I remember that show Reboot, that animated thing?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. But again, I'm not sure where the timeline, where that is, like when that came along. But I remember Beast Wars was one of the first that I saw in CG form, and it just blew me away. Like the look of it was like, it was incredible to me. So, so that's the one that really sticks out in my head, and I remember more. But definitely G1 was my first sort of introduction to the franchise. And then, after Beast Wars, I kind of kept up with the cartoons a little bit, but it's sort of, as you grew older, you got into other things, it sort of slipped my mind, and then again, seeing that teaser and then subsequent trailers, I'm like, oh, I can't believe they're actually doing this. Like, we've gotten to a day and age where they can pull this off. And the fact that it looked, from all the, from the trailers and then when you watch the movies, which we'll get into later, the fact that it looked as amazing as it did visually was a big... I remember sitting there thinking, wow, this is... At the time, it was true, and it still is, depending on where you're looking at. But visually, this franchise was revolutionary for the modern-day, blockbuster. It took things to another level, and when you start hearing
like how Jurassic Park Terminator and all these other franchises were testing the limits of technology. Almost every single Transformers movie has Michael has pushed the limits of what computer technology can do to bring these gorgeous robots to life.
Yeah. No, it's amazing, and the other thing that too that really sort of sold me from the get go was once I saw the teaser, and you realize, whoa, you know, Steven Spielberg's producing. Michael Bay was directing. And I sort of go against the grain in that I enjoy Michael Bay's films, most of them.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, like, at that point, it was what?
He had done
Armageddon, which I
enjoyed. Armageddon, which I still think is a classic. I'm probably going to get yelled at online for saying that.
I enjoy. Listen, it had Bruce Willis. And Daredevil and Batman all in one. So it was kind of
and Betty Ross.
Yeah, which was at that time the more of a draw for me because I was like, oh, you know, let's try that. Sign me up to that stuff. You know,
probably for me it would have been a young Ben Affleck, but
I wasn't thinking about Ben Affleck back then. Now it's like, can you make up your mind and decide whether you're Batman or not anymore?
God.
I said we weren't going to talk about Batman, but here we are.
It always shows up.
Yeah, he's always lurking in the shadows. Really. By the way, have they done a Transformers Justice League or Batman crossover? They should.
They should, especially since they have done an Avengers meets Transformers.
Yeah, which and
IDW just announced that they're going to be doing a Star Trek versus Transformers, which is like, oh my God, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This sounds so asinine crazy. I have to read it.
So while you're doing that, IDW, partner up with DC and get Batman and them involved in this.
There's already some kind of partnership with DC and IDW with the Batman Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, and that's just, fun. Have you read that? That's fantastic.
No, I haven't, but I've heard great things about it, even though it's such a silly concept. It's like, hey, if they can find a way to make it work, God bless them.
It's brilliant. It's
good. It's good. I'm glad.
And I'm already thinking in my head, as soon as I was reading it, I'm like, okay, you know those DC Direct, you know, animated movies? They gotta do this. That's two fandoms that you just got in the palm of your hands if you announce that. And I'll buy probably two copies. One for my Batman fandom and one for my Ninja Turtles fandom. Ninja Turtles. One of each. I definitely love to see Batman and the JLA interact with the Transformers, but that'll be for another podcast when somebody burns up and does that. I was in it sort of from the beginning, but the live action movie franchise did reignite it, and it was the combination of the visuals I was seeing on screen and Steven Spielberg and Michael Bay's involvement, because I knew of Michael. I knew of Armageddon was, you know, and The Rock. I think I had
The Rock, Armageddon, and Bad Boys, and Pearl Harbor too.
That was all pre Transformers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Bad Boys. I remember that I knew of Michael Bay. It was.
And he also had done The Island right before. That was his movie right before.
And I enjoyed it. And people can say what they want. I enjoyed The Island.
Finally got a chance to watch it for the first time a couple of months ago, and even though I know it's I don't want to say a ripoff, but you can clearly tell if you know a movie called I think it's called Clonus or something.
I've never seen it, so this is new to me.
Yeah, hold on. Guys, the editor gonna edit this out.
Well, this is the first podcast.
It's a movie from 1979 called Parts the Clonus Horror, and it is. If you watch it, you're gonna have the exact same reaction if you had watched Hunger Games and then gone to watch. I forgot what year it came out, but it was a Japanese movie called Battle Royale. They are the same thing. But just maybe tone down a little bit.
But my question is, do those movies have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Black Widow? No.
No, so automatically The Island is better.
There you go. And I'm sure we just pissed off fans of those movies. But it's all right.
The two people out there that say that Parts the Clonus Horror is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. Hey, they're out there. Listen.
Oh, shit. There goes our Patreon support.
Listen. I podcast with somebody who enjoys the Halle Berry Cow. And I know you do, too. But I have to bring it up. The Halle Berry Cow. There's got to be something.
I tolerate it. That's how I'll say it. I tolerate it.
Tolerate it is better than enjoying it. I think Jordan actually enjoys it, so it is what it is. But you know, hey, so if he's out there, you know, the fans of this are out there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But so yeah, while I was aware of the property and I enjoyed the property beforehand, mm-hmm. I will say that the Transformers film franchise, that first movie, reinvigorated my fandom for it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And even before it had come out, and like in the months leading up to the premiere of the 2007 movie, I was, you know, just like my eyes had been woken and I had seen the light, and I'm, you know, buying, you know, toys left and right. And my first ever Transformer is the 2007 Voyager Ironhide. Mm-hmm. And that thing was a son of a bitch to transform. Oh my God. At least till what I would have been 15, 16 at the time, and not knowing how these things are working, and I'm afraid that if I, you know, too much strength, I'm going to tear the thing in half.
Well, now you can go on YouTube and they can show you how to do it, right?
Exactly. I've had to do that.
Yeah, back then it was a little bit of a... I mean, there was YouTube, but these unboxing and putting together things wasn't a thing.
No, probably not back then. But as I was saying, it's like even in the months leading up to it, it got me wanting to look into the history of this entire franchise. And I remember maybe the movie came out in July, so like this is like maybe May of 2007. I actually went out with my mom, and she had got me like the 25th, I think, or 20th anniversary or something of the DVD of the 1986 animated G1 movie.
I got that too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was that movie itself was my first
exposure to
G1. Actually, yeah, it was my first exposure to G1, and since I watched it before the Michael movie, you know, Michael Bay's movies.
Was your first
exposure? It was my first Transformers thing ever. And then, of course, they kill off Optimus Prime 20 minutes into the movie, and I'm like,
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert! Oops, for a 25-30-year-old movie.
You know, people are sensitive about spoilers, so you
can... I know.
No matter, you know, whether you like him or don't like him, you can't deny the point of all this.
Yeah.
You can't deny the impact of
that it brought new that first movie. Fans in. Yeah, that brought in new fans. Yep. And that it, I've seen this argument come up online before that the franchise was dying, you know, since, you know, critical and fan backlash against the three Unicron trilogy cartoons was like at an all-time high. I kind of side with the faction of fans that say the franchise wasn't dying, but it definitely was in decline, and it wasn't anywhere near as popular as it was.
Yeah, I mean, look, they'll repackage. They would have repackaged toys.
Uh huh. You know, had Michael's movies, had the Bay movies never come out, I still think Transformers would be around, just not to the level that we have it today.
Yeah, I mean, it would take, like I said. At the end of the day, the toy collectors, and you know, they'll repackage, they'll do a paint job on something, they'll reissue, and the thing would have survived. It would have, you know, wouldn't have had sort of the wider appeal that it does now, but it would have survived. But you know, but the point is, you're replenishing each new interpretation, whether somebody likes it or not, replenishes and revitalizes the fandom, and that only helps. So the point that you know you can make of any property, you know, let's go back to Batman. The reinventions, the reinterpretations, while they may not be specifically your taste, they are somebody's first experiences to these franchises, and you gotta respect that, because that's what keeps things going
Every version of something is someone's first. Yeah. Every version of every single version of Batman that we've gotten, from the ultra grim dark of BVS and the Dark Knight trilogy to Batman Brave and the Bold and Adam West, they're all valid.
Right.
That there is not even, I would even say, the George Clooney Batman.
Yeah, no,
because that's just a riff on the Adam West version, but they're still valid versions.
Look, I can't stand it. If anybody's listened to this podcast, you know, but for any length of time, probably 2 minutes, you'll know that I can't stand that version. But we did a review. It hasn't been, as of this recording, it hasn't been published yet. But we did a review of Batman and Robin. And we had somebody who, honest to God, really enjoys that movie.
Oh, this sounds fun. I'm going to listen to this.
And look, I appreciated their point of view. I was very respectful. If you were looking to listen to a bloodbath where I shit all over her opinions, sadly you're not going to get that podcast. I mean, I do make fun of the movie, but mm-hmm.
you don't make fun of her for enjoying.
No, never do I criticize her. Never would I do that to somebody. You know, unless it's playfully making fun of Jordan, because that's our dynamic. But, and that's what the fans want to hear, so I oblige. But
and let's face it, that's just the bedrock of the entire DC Multiverse podcast.
Yeah, well, it really is. That's the foundation of it all. He got hired. I chose him the roles because he enjoyed Batman and Robin and Catwoman. So there you go. I chose him for his contrarian opinions, but I gave myself a pat on the back for being respectful, and that sort of sowed the seed for this Transformers podcast, because I want to be able to give respect to whatever iteration of the franchise we cover, because even though, like I said, maybe Ryan doesn't have a taste for it, or I don't have a taste for a particular version. Mm-hmm. Somebody out there loves it, and for that reason, we have to give it, you know, some time and some respect when we cover it on that basis. So that's what we aim to do. We have slightly different backgrounds in our entry point to the Transformers franchise, but we were both invigorated to a degree by the film franchise. So that's sort of our origin story with the Transformers franchise. What I want to do now, briefly, before we get into our discussion about the teaser trailer, or I don't know if is it a teaser or is it a full trailer?
Since it's the I always call the first trailers for movies the teaser trailer.
Right, so we'll go with that. Before we get into the teaser trailer for Bumblebee, I want to, because I don't have any collectible action figures. because Ryan has so many that I figure for now, until I start getting one or two, I'll let him take the lead on that. I will let listeners know that I do plan on getting the Optimus Prime voice-changing mask. And I may do a podcast with the thing on. We'll see.
Oh, God, that would be great. Yes.
We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, just give us a little bit of an idea of what are you collecting? What is your
I used to probably with like the first two movies, I only really got a couple figures from each toy line. Pretty much the characters that I really wanted. But I wasn't like a line completionist or had that mentality until the Dark of the Moon toy line. And I'm kind of, in a weird way, I'm kind of glad about that, because had I have the mindset that I have now, back when the first movie came out, I would have absolutely no money ever. and my family would just not have any money ever.
And you have no space in your house. Because
I would have no... we would need a house just for my collection.
That'd be kind of
cool. But I'd be fine with it.
A house that transforms, even better.
Oh, there is the video of that one house that you can like pack up into like a trailer and it unfolds.
Yeah, but
it is a transformer.
Yeah, but I need to do it by itself. Can it do that?
I don't have to push a button for it.
Yeah, exactly. Do it yourself.
But at least it won't do it like when you're like sleeping or something, because yeah, then now the, you'll just get all messed up. When you're on the
can, because that would be problematic.
Oh, yeah. So.
Back to your toy collection.
But nowadays, even if I'm not collecting as much or as often as I used to,
right,
I still tend to stick with pretty much movie-only lines. I did collect a lot of the Prime, Transformers Prime cartoon. I did do a bit of Generations before the toy line Transformer Generations, which is kind of just all-encompassing, before they started doing this whole current Prime Wars trilogy gimmick every year, where I just have absolutely... You know, the more they go back to the G1 aesthetic, the more I'm kind of, I don't care, you know.
Right.
I'm already, like, now a pariah amongst fans because I'm saying that, you know, the G1 aesthetic and designs just do absolutely nothing for me. Mm-hmm. So I am, like, currently right now, I'm just picking up fragments of last night toy line that I haven't gotten, and I'm sticking with the Studio Series, which is... like a love letter that Hasbro's doing to the Michael Bay movies.
Awesome. And hopefully we'll have maybe what Ryan can do is take some pictures of his collection and we'll post it on the Facebook page when everything's up and running. And so but that's cool. Keep us apprised of anytime you add a new piece to your collection.
I definitely will.
And I will let you know on how. How that voice changes. Like, I'm just waiting for the next opportunity, and it's happening.
There might be a Bumblebee voice changer for the upcoming movie. Wait a second. That makes absolutely no sense.
Well, I could have music.
Rick rolls you.
Yeah, or I'd buy that. Or some Haley Steinfeld music. I don't mind that.
She is a singer, isn't she?
Yeah, she's quite talented too.
Okay.
And don't. And I know some people are rolling their eyes. Don't hate because I enjoy some Haley Steinfeld music. The whole point is to promote love on this show and tolerance and acceptance. So hey, I enjoy that stuff, and don't ask me about it because if you do, I'll block you. It's very simple.
We do need some positivity in this fandom. Yeah. You know, all fandoms have
all fandoms here. Believe me, it's not just centralized to one fandom.
For a long time I used to say that Transformers probably was up there.
But hey, the Star Wars,
especially with what's been going on lately, it's like Transformers is nowhere near as bad.
Yeah. So
okay.
You're good in that respect. We're good.
Transformer fans may, you know, hate on Michael and whatnot, but they're not actively, you know, being racist, pricks trying to chase him off social media and say that he should kill himself.
And they're cool. And they're cool with Haley Steinfeld leading the film, which is good.
Uh-huh.
I'm proud of them for that. I'm very proud of them for that.
Yeah.
So that's one in the win column, fans out there. It's good. Keep it up.
It's such a low bar.
Don't devolve. But listen, I love Star Wars as much as anybody, but it's just
I do too.
It's ridiculous, you know.
The people that had issues with The Last Jedi because of Luke issues, I think had more credibility than these people with Kelly Marie Tran, is that her name?
Yeah.
Who played Rose? I absolutely adored in the movie.
Adorable.
Yeah.
My thing is, look, if you're going to criticize a movie based on content, by all means, go nuts.
But do it based off of
the story
issues. How the characters were written. Yeah. Don't be pricks to the actual real world person.
Yeah.
Because then you're just an asshole.
Yeah. And there's no place for that. We've got enough of that in the real world. We don't need.
Yeah. We don't need that in our fandoms whatever they are. Pokemon, Transformers, Star Wars, DC, Marvel. It's all escapism. With what's going on in the world right now, we could all use a little bit of escapism once in a while.
And you know what? The sad fact is, half of the people that act like that are enjoying a property that promotes the exact opposite, which is which is ridiculous to me, but it is what it is. But let's transition before we get into the trailer. Ryan mentioned earlier on about the 4-issue miniseries, or I think it's 4 issues, the miniseries with Transformers versus Star Trek, and it's a weird. It's an oddball of a team up because
that's a nice way to put it.
And the reason is it's not the two current iterations of the IDW continuities for Star Trek or Transformers.
It's like they're doing their own little tiny pocket universe thing. Yeah.
It's the 1980s G1 Transformers meeting up, probably fighting, and then teaming up with. The original
Star Trek, but it's not from the live-action TV show. It is the animated version. It's Star Trek, the animated series.
Yeah. So, and I'm, you know what? I'm here for it. I'm like, bring it on.
Oh, it sounds and looks so bonkers. The only thing I can do is buy it just to see how.
And we're definitely going to cover it here. We just haven't figured out exactly how we're going to broach it, but we'll keep you up to date on when and how we're going to do that, so you can follow along if your heart so desires. But while we wait for that in September, let's gear up for what we have in front of us now, and most recently in terms of live-action Transformers content, and that is the teaser trailer, as you put it, for Bumblebee. What I want to do is let's discuss. Because we want to promote more positivity, let's always start with what we liked about the trailer. So, what did you like about the trailer?
Baby Bumblebee is the first thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Even though the Bumblebee movie is, and I'm sorry, people out there that think this is a reboot, it's not. It's still canonical with the Michael Bay movies. You're gonna have to just get over that. Even though it seems to, obviously I am saying this without having read the prequel comics, without having even seen the Bumblebee movie, but just from a visual look, it almost feels like we're ignoring an aspect of The Last Knight, which only came out last year, where we had, you know, adult looking Bumblebee and Hot Rod fighting Nazis, which I don't care what you say about the movies. Bumblebee fighting Nazis is amazing.
Anything fighting Nazis is great.
Anything fighting Nazis. And now I want a Godzilla movie where he's just destroying Nazi
just
Germany.
Just chew them off the bread.
Yes.
And then have Batman come in and just throw batarangs at their heads.
Oh my God! Yes, stop
I'd
it!
I'd watch the end. They're both owned by Warner Brothers. Let's get on that.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. Even though I might have an issue with what it looks like, kind of ignoring an aspect of established movie-verse continuity, you can't help but look at the Bumblebee trailer and see baby-fied Bumblebee and just want to lay down your life for him. And protect him at all costs, and just give him a big hug and tell him it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So is that your main? Is that your only dilemma?
As someone who is,
I'm pushing you.
Because there is something that, you know, if you follow me on Twitter or know anything about, you know. If you look at my Twitter at all, you will see that I have major issues about one thing. I'm trying to avoid that until we get to the cons.
Yeah.
Literally, con.
Yeah.
Pun completely intended. Retroactively.
Two puns in the first episode. It's great.
I'm a big fan of what Michael's done with the franchise, his vision and his take on things. And I would have preferred to have seen an old model Camaro be used, but I do respect director Travis Knight, his decision to have Bumblebee be the Volkswagen Beetle, the B Classic.
Yeah, yeah.
I may have wished for it to be something else, but I can at least respect that he wanted to go all the way back to G1. And that's what this movie looks like it's trying to do. It's take the vibe of G1 and put it in the context of a prequel to the first five movies that we've gotten.
Yeah. I'll list off some of my positives. You know, let's go right to what you said. Baby Bumblebee, you know, you can't help but be
he is this.
You can't.
Yeah. He is just small, and that is SMOL, and you just need to protect him with your life.
Yeah.
And if anyone yells at him, you beat the ever loving crud out of that person.
Yeah. Definitely. But no, you know, the cool thing is what I enjoyed was at the beginning of the trailer, there's the Bernie Mac voiceover.
Uh-huh. Which just only continues to further establish that
it's connected,
you know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no denying, after you hear that, there's no denying it. I mean you can't.
Mm-hmm. You and that, you know, they, you know, at least for the movie side of things, they've, you know, kept Bumblebee's, you know, movie verse traditional face.
Yeah.
The comics, no, and I don't like the direction that's going.
Have those particular comics come out yet?
The first issue, I believe, is supposed to come out next week.
Oh, beautiful. I'll be picking
that up. June 27th, I think, is when the first issue comes out.
I'll be picking that up via Comixology, and that's a shameless plug for Comixology. If they want to throw some cash, we're all for that.
Please do it. I'll still read the comics, even if I'm not a fan of the fact that whoever, off the top of my head, I don't know who the artist is. But
or it could just be the cover artist. You never know, right?
I'm really hoping that it's just, you know, a more stylized cover art take. Because if we have I don't even want to say maskless, because I do, like, interpret Bumblebee's face with the little, like, ball thing you know, where his mouth would be as being his face and not being, like, a mask. Then, you know, what we've seen for the cover art of it being, you know, G1ified, where it's like liquid metal, or more along the lines of what Drift and Crosshairs look like in Transformers 4 and 5. I am not a huge fan of the human faces, of very humanized faces on the Transformers. Okay. That's just me personally.
Okay, fair enough. But yeah, going back to, you know, some of the things I like, definitely, you know, Baby Bumblebee is great.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to deny that any way you slice it. I love the voiceover by Bernie Mac. It's you know, fortunate that he's gone, but
yeah,
it's glad. I'm glad
his Transformer legacy lives on.
Yes, yeah. I love this character. And when the grandmother gives him the finger, we'll get into that when we get to the to the movie. Exactly. But it's great to see that. I mean, that just added to the teaser for me, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It did. It brought back nostalgic memories from the very first movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I felt a lot of nostalgia, not for G1, but for the first 2007 movie watching this.
Well, I mean, it's all there. And this is another thing that I like is I mean, the idea of, and I'm going to quote the line, of a boy in his car. In this case, it's a girl in her car.
A girl in his car,
A girl in her car. But that core element, to me, is what really allowed the general audience to connect with that first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Transformers fans are going to go because it's Transformers. And look,
yeah.
I mean, we say it all the time as members of fandom. You know, if we see something we don't like, I'm not going to go watch that movie. And come on, you and I know that's a bunch of crap.
Exactly.
Who's there opening night? We are, right?
So yeah, exactly. Even when it comes to like reboots of franchises, like I would have much rather preferred Sam Raimi Spider-Man 4 over The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was still there opening night for Spider-Man. Yeah.
I was there too, and you know what? For what it was, I enjoyed it, but that's not this podcast.
That'll be our next spinoff.
That's the next spinoff.
The Spider-Man multiverse.
I mean, you know what? There's so many of them. We could do it.
I know, that's why I love our title, not to just, brag about ourselves, but why I love our title, because it's like the DC has the multiverse, Marvel has the multiverse. Oh. Let Transformers enjoy their multiverse, too.
I don't think this is going to be the end of the spin-off, but it's only just begun, just wait. We're going to have a massive crossover in about 5 years. It's going
to
be hectic.
Oh, my God, where we all have to, fight one podcast or something. Yeah, it'll be... I'm all on board.
we'll pick a particular outlet that we don't like, and we'll just... It'll be us versus... it'll be good.
All in.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. I mean, there's so many to choose from. We'll get a stand-in figurehead, like the racist... Star Wars fans that attacked that poor actress.
Yeah. That bought the action figures of Rose and just tore them up while being, pieces of...
So
is this going to be explicit?
Let's keep it to a minimum because we don't want to...
Because they're racist pieces of crap. I'll just gotta keep it like that. Okay. Morons. There we go.
But The whole idea of a girl and her car, I think, again, that to me was the linchpin of getting the casuals in. And I think going back to that, there's that simplicity where, yes, it's cool to see, robots beating the crap out of each other and all the spectacle involved. But
there is a sense of awe and wonder in the first movie that... There are awe and wonder in all the movies, but there is like a very specific...
It's that first time
Intimate. Yeah. Not in a sexual way, but intimate for character and story, awe and wonder. This is going to sound so weird, but...
Right, go with it.
it's like a moment from the first movie that just... like changed my perspective on not just the franchise but almost in all aspects of my life at the time was after the Shia LaBeouf and Megan Fox watch Bumblebee and Bearcade beat the crap out of each other and Bumblebee transforms back into the Camaro and Shia says the line, 50 years from now, do you want to tell your kids or grandkids that you had the guts to get into the car? There is just, I cannot describe it with words. Just the sense of just awe and wonder about that. Like, would you, knowing what your car is, knowing that these things are out there, would you get in the car too?
Yeah. There's that.
I know I would.
I would, but for multiple reasons, which I'll get into when we get to.
Well,
you know where I'm going with this. We'll leave that as a spoiler for later on. Most people who know me probably know where I'm going with it.
If you know the movie, you know.
For the people who don't know me, you'll figure it out real quick. In a month or so. But for me, there's that. But also the more whenever you see the Transformers first arrive and transform, there is you really do get sucked into the. To the human character's perspective, you are them in those moments, and I think seeing Hailee Steinfeld's character watch Bumblebee, transform in front of her
with that amazing visible head syndrome that is an aspect of the toy line. It's like, oh, that's just cute.
Yeah, that was
because that is something you see in a lot of the figures. Is you can only do so much with $20 worth of plastic. So they, a lot of times you take the car version of the toy and look underneath and there you have the robot face staring right at you. I love that.
It was a great shot. And I've seen now Bumblebee transform how many times?
Mm-hmm. And it's, right? Yes.
But I was sitting there and I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
They, no matter how many times you see these same characters in these movies transform, it is still just gorgeous to watch.
And you know what was cool about that is that knowing that it's made for less money, and that it's still, that transformation just in the trailer still looked phenomenal on my computer screen. It was just, I cannot wait to see what that looks like on a big friggin' screen. I can't wait.
And after they've had, you know, more time for post-production. Yeah, this movie is still half a year away.
All that monotonous stuff that we don't get to see, thank God, because it would be rather taxing. You know, I don't envy the special effects artists and renderers' jobs, mm-hmm. for sure. But probably because I'm not adept for it. So I can barely draw. So they imagine me pulling up special effects and be like, can we just, you know, stick figures? They're good. We were puppets.
I barely even do stick figures properly. Yeah, so
so, but like when I was watching, I'm like, man, this is amazing. This is incredible. And then it's furthered by her first interactions with Bumblebee. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you'd think she'd be scared to crap, but she's worried about, because she could see the look on his face.
Yeah.
She's instantly worried about him.
Uh-huh. Well, and, because it's baby Bumblebee and he's small. Yeah,
exactly. And she's like, she puts up her hand and she's like, don't worry, I won't hurt you. And when she caresses his face, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Oh, that just hit me in the heart.
Yeah, I was
When he leans into her hand and he like, does like the calm closing of his eyes briefly. It's just, oh.
Yeah, I was getting emotional because...
Yeah.
I get it. He's a CGI robot. I get all that. But mm-hmm. in that moment, I'm not looking at a CGI robot. I'm putting myself in the perspective of... I remember the first time I held my baby nieces or nephews.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same feeling. So, you know, anybody that tells you that you can't relate to these movies...
No, or that you can't get emotion from the robots.
Yeah,
don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I still, you know, I got teary eyed in the theater the first time seeing the 2007 movie after Starscream blew off Bumblebee's legs. Yeah. And I'm sitting there thinking, you just introduced me to this character that I've grown attached to for the last 2 hours, and you're gonna kill him right here, right now.
Yeah.
Don't you dare.
So I was, like I said, that moment just such a heartwarming mm-hmm. moment, and I think that to me is going to, look, because as much as Ryan and I enjoy all the current Transformers movies, I mean, to differing degrees, of course,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to sit here and say all five of those movies are masterpieces and they're perfect in every way, of course.
I'll always use the term visual masterpieces on the visual side of things.
Yeah, but I'm saying we're not going to trust me.
Even though I would classify myself as a hardcore Bayformers fan.
Yeah.
Oh, I got my issues with all the movies. I think it would be irrational if you're a fan of something and not saying that we all have to be cynical and point out the flaws and things that we love, but if you're just being a blind fanboy or fangirl. And just in love with every aspect of everything that comes out, then you're not looking at it with the right set of eyes.
So I mean that was there's that moment that really mm-hmm. stood out to me. There's also the moment where we get a shot of Sector 7, which is cool
to see further continuity with the movies.
And John Cena is there.
Wait, you're actually able to see John Cena? I didn't even see him in the trailer.
Yeah, it was a brief. The more times you watch it, you'll oh, that's John Cena. It's like,
I'm doing the whole you can't see me, John.
Oh, okay. See, you got me. I didn't see that shit coming. So there it is. Good job.
John Cena's in this movie? I had no idea.
Yeah, you can't see him. Wow.
But yeah, that is. I wish there was more than just that one shot, but.
Well, but remember, it's a teaser, right? So you're gonna get more of that.
And I do think, you know, I'm someone who is very casually, tangentially a fan of like wrestling and WWE.
I loved it back in the day. I'll tell you that much.
Uh huh.
With The Rock, Stone Cold, all those guys.
Uh huh. And seeing someone of, you know. I think he's a pretty decent actor. Maybe not up there with The Rock, but still.
Yeah, well, nobody can.
Nobody
can do a Jumanji movie where you land in this game world, in this forest.
Mm-hmm.
You not only do a superhero landing, but you do the people's eyebrow at the same time. You can't compete with that. It's just
I still have to see Rampage.
I gotta see that too. I want to watch that too.
That's gonna be so fun. But back to Bumblebee.
Yeah. But no, so you see Sector 7 for a brief moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then what also, again, another tugging at the heartstrings moment was seeing Bumblebee cradle, you know, grab Haley's, I guess Charlie is her name.
I believe that's Haley Steinfeld.
He cradles her in his arms and is protecting her from.
Mm-hmm.
From
to assume Sector 7 because they seem to be wearing the military uniforms.
Yeah, and the way he's cradling her and running away with her again.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of. I think the key to this bringing people back, because look, again, what I was going for before we got sidetracked was, even though Ryan and I love this franchise to death, we're not going to deny that some people checked out after the
movie.
But to bring those people back, I think it's smart to go back to that core aspect, which is, you know, in this case, a girl in her car. And I think, again, that moment where he's protecting her is another shot that I'm like, all right, we're back in the Transformers safe place, if you will. Mm-hmm. And that's going back to the first film, right?
There's nothing, you know, I do like the fact that, you know, there were dozens and dozens of robots in all subsequent movies, but
right. The
first one had a small robot cast, and by everything that we've heard about Bumblebee, it's going to have an even smaller robot cast
and there
on
was,
both
yeah,
sides.
Yeah, which is look, I think for
which you can do.
Yeah, and
I would become totally down with there being a Transformer spinoff movie where it's just one Autobot, one Decepticon.
Yeah, like a boxing match. Just go out. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I think for the reinvigoration of this franchise, I think that this is a smart move. Doing this and going back to that core ideal, and there's even the moment, you know, the visual shot of Bumblebee sort of masking out or hulking out, if you will, where he's gonna, you know, and he's I can't really make out what he's stopping. Is that a train or a truck? What is he?
And the end of the trailer or something?
Yeah, what is he?
No, that looks like a helicopter that got shot out of the sky or something.
I couldn't really make out exactly what that was.
Yeah, I think it's a helicopter.
Even though I couldn't see what he was stopping, it was a hell of a cool shot, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him in the I'm going to call it hulking out mode because that's kind of what it is. You know, in hulking out mode, I thought it was badass. I'm like, all right, he can go from adorable to badass in one fell swoop, and that's awesome.
And that's Bumblebee in a nutshell. Yeah. Adorable, but a badass.
Yeah, that's a hashtag. I mean, does that fit in hashtag terms?
I think.
We'll
make it a thing.
When we launch this podcast,
adorable, but a badass.
That'll be a hashtag by the time you're listening to this. So, there's so much of this trailer that I really, really enjoyed. And I know you have issues that you're going to talk about in a second,
but mm-hmm.
I was very sort of not sure of what the heck this was going to be.
Yeah.
Because it was so secretive up until now.
Until they decided to actually give us the trailer, you know, 6 months before the movie comes out.
But you know what? A more subdued marketing is probably better because a lot of franchises do overkill with the marketing. So this, you know, going back to Spider-Man for a second, one of the problems with Spider-Man movies is, you know, they blow their load in the first trailer. You can make out an entire movie, right?
So, mm-hmm. You could see the entire movie for like Amazing Spider-Man 2 in trailers months before the release. Yeah.
So I kind of like this more subdued. I mean, it's gonna get hard hitting mm-hmm. as we go down the road, but you know, as we get
mm-hmm.
closer. I mean, Comic-Con is gonna be a thing where they pump out.
I kind of doubt that we'll get another trailer a month after we get the first one. I see them doing like a new trailer for New York Comic Con in October.
Well, I know they're going to San Diego, so there's going to be something.
Yeah.
And we'll discuss,
there's going to be something. Then we'll probably get, like, new clips and maybe, like, better looks at, you know, the robot cars and...
They'll formally reveal which other robots are in this thing, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever we get, we'll cover when we do that month's podcast, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there's just so much of this that I enjoyed, and it just... It made me... I'm like, all right... I'm liking what I'm seeing so far. I was gonna go regardless, obviously, but
mm-hmm.
I'm in. That was my takeaway from the trailer. And by the way, the poster for the trailer is amazing. That that is a piece of art.
Just simple, and I like that.
Yeah, it's simple and it's just beautiful. It's amazing. So now I'm going to let you go off on your main complaint.
complaints.
Issues, yeah.
I've been hinting at one, and if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you definitely know which one I'm talking about. Yeah. But I do have two complaints.
Okay.
And one of them, probably the lesser of the two, is I'm judging based off of almost nothing, so it probably has no credibility whatsoever. But as I've said, you know, this looks like baby Bumblebee. This looks like a very young Bumblebee compared to what we got in the first five movies. And that by itself is fine. Had we not gotten the backstory established in The Last Knight, where Autobots and Decepticons have been a presence on Earth occasionally in the past, and we saw clear video... footage of Bumblebee and Hot Rod, not baby Bumblebee and baby Hot Rod, but full on, you know, if robots can have baby and adult versions, but the full on more mature looking Bumblebee,
fully grown,
quote unquote fully grown Bumblebee, fighting off Nazis in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people love to throw around that Michael Bay doesn't care about continuity and that the continuity between the movies is garbage, which I just personally kind of call BS on. You know, while some people will say that there is no continuity is lax, I look at it as more we're missing puzzle pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Where I feel like there is a way that the Quintessa story element established in The Last Knight could still work with the whole Allspark and the original Seven Primes established in the first two movies. I believe that there could have been a way to connect those things. We just, whether or not we get those puzzle pieces now or later or if ever, but yeah, like I was, before I got a little sidetracked myself, you know, it's going to happen a lot every episode.
Yeah.
Fair warning. But whereas, you know, people like to, you know, kind of, that's one of their criticisms of Michael Bay. I mean, it looks like Travis Knight is doing the exact same thing from my perspective, where he's just completely seemingly ignoring what's, you know, how robots have looked, and, you know, how we get from quote-unquote mature-looking Bumblebee in World War II to baby Bumblebee in the 1980s, but then we go back to, you know, youngish but quote-unquote mature in 2007 and onwards. You know, go on.
I mean, I don't know how this is going to play itself out.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if Smallville can do amnesia every week when Lex figured out Clark's identity, I'm sure this franchise can figure something out.
Yeah, I sure hope
maybe
so.
Maybe Bumblebee has amnesia. Maybe he doesn't remember.
I will say final judgment for the movie itself.
No, but you know how they can alter their where they can assume or assimilate to a particular form of whatever vehicle they choose or whatever, of similar size. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll explain this, but maybe during the transition into a Volkswagen Beetle, it screwed up with his quote-unquote memory, and that's why he...
It's, I'm willing to wait and see. I mean, it's just first,
that, but they might not because it's so much later on, right? So
I've never been one to subscribe to the theory that, okay, yes, the Transformers can change vehicle modes. We see that, you know, different types of Camaros or different types of trucks or whatnot. But the robot forms still look the same, which now leads me into my second and biggest complaint.
Okay.
Is, sadly, I'm probably the only person on the planet who feels this way about Starscream in the new movie, where he has been completely G1-ified, taken like a hybrid of the more general movie aesthetic, where it does look a little bit more complicated and you do see more of the actual alien robot form, but he is the classic 80s Starscream and looks absolutely nothing like what the Starscream that we've had for the past, you know, five movies,
right,
established over the last five movies. Yeah. And that just, I have never been one to subscribe to the idea that just because they change vehicle forms doesn't means that they completely change robot form. And I thought that there could have been a way to keep the, as the fans call it, the triangle Dorito Scream, but give him, whether it's the eagle, the F-18, whichever type of eagle it was, whatever his 80s cartoon version was, or what clearly it looks like they're going for some kind of phantom jet for Starscream in this movie. But I still say that there could have been a way to keep his movie-verse classic design, but give him classic G1 vehicle kibble. Because they did that, I think the best example is still the flat-nose truck for Optimus in Age of Extinction. They gave us the G1 vehicle mode and applied its kibble to his already established robot mode.
Yeah.
And I thought that worked beautifully. Now, probably there are people out there who will think, well, you know, in that exact same movie, Optimus and Bumblebee scan new vehicles, and that radically changes their design, you know, their robot mode, so why can't it be with Starscream? Well, to answer that question, I didn't like that either. I still have issues with how Bumblebee just drastically changes into looking like Red Stinger, and Optimus, just because he scans a newer version of a long-nosed semi-truck, that he suddenly gets knight armor.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
The designs look cool, but explanation, please.
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from, and I'll say at least you're consistent in your complaint. If you didn't like it in this trailer, at least you didn't like it in that movie. So people can't accuse you of being, you know, a homeless for one and a detractor for another. So I give you the credit for that. I like Starscream in the first five movies. But I also
even though he died in the third movie, we do see glimpses of him.
But at the same time, I like his G1 look too, so I like both. If that makes sense.
And I can respect that, but
like I'm okay with both. You know what I'm saying? I'm okay with both. But I do see your point though. So in fairness, I do get where you're coming from for sure. It's just me being a fan of both versions. It's not as much of an issue to me. But I can totally understand your position on it.
And I can understand and respect yours. It's it kind of goes back to the fact that in Bumblebee, his vehicle is the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, and I think that it's a nice nostalgia pull. which is why. And again, if they had made him an older version of a Camaro, I would have been fine. I would have been perfectly fine with that.
I would have been looking forward to it more.
Yeah.
To me, because once again, it's. I guess I'm that weird Transformers fan that almost, you know, like, I can respect and admire the 80s cartoon because it was the first. That, you know, it set everything into motion. We wouldn't get these movies had it been, had, you know, those that cartoon not come out at all. Yeah. But, you know, just because you're the first doesn't mean you're the best.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's a fair. That's a fair.
Those designs and the general G1 aesthetic, just as I said earlier, just does absolutely nothing for me personally.
It's not your preferred. Mm-hmm. And again, that's completely fine.
And so to see, you know, characters, versions of characters that I've loved for over a decade, now be forced into G1-ified, you know, looking vehicles and robot modes, I'm not going to say, take it as personally as an insult to me, as someone who is a fan of Transformers above all other iterations of the franchise.
You've been supporting it but
it does feel like...
Like they're purposely trying to win back.
Right, it's like they care more for the old school than keeping... Then staying the course of what they've been doing, then keeping different, because you know, across all most versions of Transformers, you know, with obviously you know some you know design choices, you know, a lot of Starscreams look alike, a lot of Megatrons and Optimus Primes look alike, but there was a very, I think, ambitious uniqueness to a lot of the movieverse designs that attracted me on a visually pleasing level than what G1 does.
Right, and look, that's definitely a fair perspective, right? And I totally get where you're coming from there. But I'm sure they're going out of their way to please the G1 audience with certain design aspects. But at the whether that's you know. I think what will ultimately make them succeed, or not, will be the quality of the movie. And that's going to be what appeals to the general audience. Because, like I said, whether you're a Michael Bay version of the Transformers supporter, or you're a G1 supporter, or you're any other version, you know, you prefer any other version, you're going to be there when Bumblebee comes out. And anybody that says otherwise is lying to themselves.
On the day that there is inevitably like a complete, total universe continuity reboot for the Transformer movies, maybe I won't buy that franchise iteration's toys.
But you'll buy a ticket.
But I'll still go see the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going to make or break this movie and the future of the franchise is going to be the general public's reaction to the movies, and half of the general audience, I'll be honest with you, probably doesn't know the difference between G1 and Bayformer design anyway.
Like the probably not.
The casuals or the new kids that are going to see the commercial and go because, hey, that looks cool, aren't going to be picking at the distinction. Does the movie engage them and are they entertained by what they're seeing?
Mm-hmm.
So if Paramount thinks making this, you know, design shift is going to be the reason, I don't think it is. I think that the quality of the film is going to work, because again, we're like the small fans of any property are the small minority that makes it a success.
Mm-hmm.
It's the general population's reaction to the film that determines the legs and the longevity, because the fan base goes to opening weekend, it's everybody else that goes afterwards. So that's what I think the focus should be on. And ultimately, because I'm a fan of both eras, I think as long as the story works, as long as I'm in with the characters, I can roll with anything. But I will say, at least, the very least, what the trailer reaffirmed is that this is within continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where they are going to go with this franchise, again, assuming Bumblebee does well, is I think they are going to X-Men it, which is
go the route of the X-Men movie universe.
Not worry about continuity, just worry about the individual movie. You have snippets of continuity here and there, but and I think look. It's worked for the X-Men franchise. There are only one or two films that people say, "Well, that was bad." But here we are. Every single X-Men movie, people still show up. So.
Mm-hmm. And I personally still can't wait for Dark Phoenix, even if it is going to end up being the last movie because of the whole Disney Fox. Who knows?
Me too. Yeah.
But I'm still I can't wait to see that one.
Me too. So, but at least, like I said, it doesn't seem like a total, scrub of continuity. It is set in the cinematic franchise as we know it,
mm-hmm.
and it does look like it is quote unquote X-Men-ing it. So
yeah, and another route that I could see possibly them going to tie it in more with X-Men. Is doing a whole Days of Future Past like that. In the ideal perfect world, I would have preferred a direct sequel to The Last Knight to wrap up the Quintessa and Unicron storyline.
Okay, cool.
But I could also see them set up this younger, newer, in the past, quote unquote, iteration of the franchise, and then have there be an element of time travel involved where the 80s, or if a sequel takes place in like the 90s, a sequel to Bumblebee takes place, another prequel takes place in the 90s, where that group of characters and like younger versions of Optimus and Bumblebee, if Optimus shows up in the sequel, they have to interact with the present day versions of the characters in order to stop Quintessa or Unicron.
Yeah,
I mean, might be a little bit more convoluted than just a straightforward sequel, but I could see it happening so that we could at least put a cap on Bay's version of the franchise and have that storyline wrapped up, and then
pass the baton.
Pass the baton to Travis Knight and to this, It might still, hopefully, if that's the route, they'll still have, like, the design aesthetic and the lore and mythology that was established in Bay's movies, but just tell new stories.
Yeah.
Redo The Fallen, redo Devastator, redo Sentinel Prime, or just go off and do their own things.
And look to the comics as well, which is something...
Uh-huh.
That I hope the future movies...
There's a lot of storylines in the comics, both, set during the Great War, between the Autobots and Decepticons, before then, during the war, and even, like, the last 5-plus years of the comics have been set during I wouldn't say a peacetime, but there is no more Autobot-Decepticon war.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, in the current comics, Starscream is the leader of Cybertron, Megatron is an Autobot and has completely, genuinely renounced his way, his former ways. Wow. And Soundwave is Optimus Prime's second in command. It's one hell of a paradigm shift.
So the point is, anything can happen. And
I do
like your idea, and I can see them going that way for sure. But first and foremost, Bumblebee needs to succeed.
Mm-hmm. And even if I have some issues with it, I'm still hoping, that they get resolved in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah.
And that I really hope this movie succeeds, because if Bumblebee fails critically, financially, much worse than The Last Knight did last year, then not only is my iteration of Transformers dead and I'll get no closure.
Yeah.
No finality to the storylines that I've enjoyed the most, but the whole just Transformers on film, period is going to be
gone for at least 10 years. Yeah,
5 to 10 years.
So let's all band together and put our
and hope. Yeah,
put our differences aside and really go out there and be supportive and
exactly
and hope for the best for Bumblebee. And so
I sure as hell know that I'm going to be there opening night.
As will I. So we'll, of course, be covering more of Bumblebee as we go along up until its release, and then obviously doing a review of the film. That will bring the episode zero of this podcast to a close. What we'll be doing next month is we are going to go back to the beginning of the cinematic franchise. We are going to cover the prequel comic for the 2007 film. We're going to review the film itself and discuss the comic book adaptation of the film. So those are the three things we'll be looking at next month. But before we close, Ryan, where can people find you on social media?
On Twitter, you can find me at Reaxus Prime, and that is spelled R-H-I-A-X-U-S Prime. It's a little, there was a character in the IDW comics and in other past iterations called G-Axis, and I just decided to use that, like a version of that for my current Twitter handle.
Works for me. It works.
And I currently do, and this is going to sound so bad of me, but I am not sure if my Facebook is on public or private.
So we won't be that open just yet.
Not now. But if you want to try and add me, it's just Ryan Huelsman. It's spelled Huelsman.
Perfect. And if you want to talk to me, you can do so on Twitter at Superhero Sci-Fi. And we can talk about whatever as long as you're respectful.
Send all your Batcat fan art to Adam, please.
No, I will block you.
All of it. All of it.
I will block all of you instantaneously. It's not even going to be funny. Thanos' finger snaps, got nothing on my use of the
button. Oh, God.
But until next podcast, take care, be kind to everybody, and see you next month. So long,
everybody. See you next month, guys.
So long, everybody.